week we saw that the gospel was on the move, out from Israel and Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria, but it wasn't in ways we might have expected. The disciples were being persecuted in the most brutal and vicious way by a man called Saul, who we'll meet again next week. And the persecution and the scattering of the disciples had the most unexpected result, that the gospel message was being joyfully received by all who heard it, and many became baptized and believed in Jesus Christ as God's only Son. And we also met Philip, not an original apostle, but one of the other disciples who was branching out and was preaching the word throughout Samaria. He was responding to what was happening on the ground. In this week's reading, we meet Philip again, and we see God at work, using the new generation to preach and teach his word. God places Philip exactly where he wants him to be. And in the unexpected encounter with the Ethiopian official, the good news about Jesus continues to spread into the world as the man returns to Ethiopia, showing that God's message of love, forgiveness and hope is for everyone, everywhere, wherever they are. Let's find out more now in our Bible story.
Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
God is clearly at work in our reading today. Did you notice the amazing detail that we're given by Luke? That Philip is instructed by an angel and the Spirit, and both give him very detailed instructions on what to do. The angel tells him to get up and go to the road that leads south in the Gaza desert. And then the Holy Spirit, a bit later, tells Philip to get up and go and wait by that chariot. And Philip doesn't speak. He gets up and acts immediately. God is prompting him, leading him to the place he wants Philip to be. Have you ever felt prompted by the Spirit? Felt little nudges, a persistent niggle? What would you have done in Philip's shoes? He was called and immediately obeyed. The Spirit placed Philip exactly where God wanted him and needed him to be. is sent to the chariot where there is an Ethiopian man reading from a scroll of scripture. Notice again the amazing detail. Who was this court official? We're not given his name, which is quite curious considering the rest of the detail we are given. We are told he's an important court official, working for the Queen of Ethiopia and in charge of her finances. So he was clearly a very educated man and somebody with a very important role in the court of the Ethiopian Queen. He's returning from worshipping in Jerusalem. We're not told whether he's a Jew. That's not actually in the text. But I think we can infer from the fact he is called an Ethiopian eunuch that he wasn't a practicing Jew, but he was somebody who was drawn to the one true God of Israel and really was searching for a deep connection with God. Philip approaches the man and asks him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the Ethiopian man replies, "No, how can I? Tell me more. Ethiopian man, tell me more. I don't understand." He's really eager to learn more and he wants to know what is going on in this piece of scripture. The passage is from Isaiah 53 and is traditionally perceived as one which points to Jesus, the servant-hearted king, saviour of his people, willing to lay down his life for others. Philip explained to the man how it pointed to Jesus himself, to his life and his ministry, and he helped him make connections between this Old Testament prophecy and Jesus as our Saviour and Lord. Have you ever struggled with a piece of scripture or a passage in the Bible? Puzzled and struggled? It takes time to understand scripture, and it's good to read and reread, to study and to think. And each time we read a piece of scripture, we can see different things. We looked at this piece of scripture a few weeks ago for our messy church, and when I came back to this passage, I saw different things. So taking time to study is really fruitful. And if you don't understand, you can always ask for help, like the man did in this situation. Talking through difficult passages with others can help in our understanding, and it can illuminate areas of scripture which we didn't quite grasp. We can also spend time alone studying and really deeply reflecting on the Bible. One popular practice is Lectio Divina, which is where you take a passage of scripture and slowly read it and reread it and see what words or phrases strike you. So maybe a bit later today or during the week, you can go back to this passage and reread it and see what strikes you. The incredible thing about this God-led situation and encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian is that the good news about Jesus continues to spread. There's a real sense that the gospel is on the move. The man is so excited by what he hears, he says, "What is there to stop me from being baptized?" The man who eagerly had said, "Tell me, teach me," and had been so excited to hear that it is through Jesus we become part of God's family, that God's promise is for us all, regardless of our gender, ethnicity, or class. This man who believes in Jesus with all his heart receives the gift with great joy, and he is baptized by Philip at the side of the road. We're then told that he returns full of joy to his home country, Ethiopia, ensuring that the gospel news is spread out from Judea and Samaria and into Africa, further and further into the world. God is at work, and his message of love and hope for everyone is everywhere. Another incredible part of this story is that Philip and the Ethiopian meet in the desert, a place known for being dry, barren, lonely, and devoid of life. Yet Philip's conversation with the Ethiopian led to green shoots of new life bursting from the man's baptism, leading to the spread of Christianity into the wider world. The last few months have felt a bit like a desert and a wilderness place for us. Lockdown has been very hard and lonely. We haven't been able to see our family or our friends or even our church family. It's been a barren time, one of pain and sorrow, a sense of disconnection, perhaps. A real wilderness moment, a desert place. Yet this story shows us that even in the most inhospitable dark places, when God is at work, green shoots appear. So whilst it has been difficult, this time of lockdown has also been a very fruitful time for some of us. We've seen an increase in private prayer and seeking at home. There's been an increased interest in spirituality, with lots of people from all walks of life looking on the internet for worship services and ways to pray. And we've been worshipping in very different ways, on YouTube and Zoom services and all sorts of different things. So this is a time when there's been a real sense of the Holy Spirit at work, a time of learning what really matters. And actually, we've learnt that church is not just about buildings, it's about people and relationships. Relationships with God and each other. We are a church without walls. And even though we've been apart, we have been worshipping as a church family together. So there's a real sense of God and His Holy Spirit at work, both in today's story about Philip meeting the Ethiopian, and also maybe in our own lives at this very moment in time. And perhaps God's Spirit is leading us out of our comfort zones too, like it did for those disciples who were scattered all over the Middle East at that time when they were being persecuted. What is God telling you through this story today? What is He asking you to learn? The Ethiopian eagerly learned about Jesus and God and then did something with his faith. He was immediately baptized by the side of the road, and then he returned home with great joy to spread the good news about Jesus. That God's message of hope and love coming through Jesus, his son, who laid down his life for us, is a gift, a free gift from God, available to all, wherever we are. As a Spirit-led people, how are we going to carry on through lockdown and beyond in our own faith journeys? Could it be that God is calling you into something new, something unexpected? Baptism, confirmation, or maybe even a vocation to either lay ministry or ordained ministry? As the Spirit prompts you, how will you respond today?